The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From sunny Central Florida, for OnForce providers only, it's The Force Field with Rick Saboya. And now, here is your host, Rick Saboya.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the first, the only, and the unofficial podcast for the providers of OnForce, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Saboya, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the OnForce community. Well, it's official. William Gates III is stepping down as Chief Software Architect at Microsoft. Although Gates will remain chairman of Microsoft, he plans to give up his current title of Chief Software Architect by 2008 so he can concentrate on his work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a charity he founded with his wife. There have been a lot of articles the last couple of weeks about this subject, but one that got my attention was an article by Yardina Arar for PC World, dated Thursday, June 15, 2006, where she writes, Gates' departure will end an unusual division of labor between him and Microsoft chief executive Steve Ballmer, says technology analyst Rob Enderle. Usually a chief software architect reports to a CEO, but since Gates was also chairman, Ballmer had to report to him. There really wasn't one person in charge, Enderle says. This takes Microsoft back to a more traditional structure. While Wall Street may find the prospect of a Microsoft without Bill Gates unnerving, Gates' actual impact on the products has fallen off dramatically over the last 7 years, Enderle says. Gates was simply too busy with his duties as chairman of Microsoft and of his foundation to devote sufficient attention to being chief software architect, and that's a full-time job, Enderle says. He wasn't really involved in the day-to-day decisions on what went into the product for quite some time, Enderle says. If anything, he adds, Gates was more schedule-oriented, and had he been more involved, Windows Vista's release might not have been delayed. I'd like to know this. Is Enderle saying that Gates really was slacking off here in his position as chief software architect, or is he saying that Microsoft is taking advantage of the situation to find another excuse for the last couple of delays in getting Windows Vista out of beta and into desktops? The PC World article goes on to say, if Ray Yazzie, and for those providers who don't know who Ray Yazzie is, he is the guy who created Lotus Notes. He also founded Groove Networks, which Microsoft purchased in 97. If Ray Yazzie, who will assume Gates' responsibilities as chief software architect, is up to the job, Microsoft could emerge stronger than ever. And as a result, its products could improve, Enderle says. We're going to lose an icon, but the company is going to gain a chief software architect, he adds. So according to this article, at least one industry analyst is blaming Gates himself for the delays. In fact, not only for the delays of Vista, but the overall quality of Microsoft software. It's all Bill's fault. Now, that may or may not be entirely true, but either way, he won't be leaving for a couple of years anyway. Even then, he will still be chairman of the board. Come on, folks, do you really believe Bill Gates will give up control of his beloved cash cow so easily? He may be shedding a title, but he's not going anywhere, except maybe back to the bank. I have my suspicions about what is really going on here, but I will leave it all to your imagination. If you want to read the entire article, it's located at www.pcworld.com entitled Analysis, What Gates' Departure Means for Microsoft. All right, I was up on the Hewlett-Packard website yesterday, and I saw this press release, and I found it both interesting and disconcerting. Now, this press release is dated June 21st, 2006, and this comes directly from Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard today announced that the company is working with national retailers Walgreens Company and OfficeMax to resolve ink patent infringements found in multiple U.S. stores of both companies. Inks found in both Walgreens and OfficeMax refilling service stations infringe Hewlett-Packard patents. Both companies are cooperating with Hewlett-Packard and are working toward resolution. HP protects its intellectual property wherever infringements are found, said Pradeep Jatwani, Senior Vice President, Supplies, Imaging, and Printing Group, Hewlett-Packard. Decades of research and development investment by Hewlett-Packard have resulted in more than 4,000 patents related to printing supplies, allowing us to deliver the superior quality and reliable printing experience associated with original HP supplies. The patent infringements were discovered as part of ongoing worldwide testing and enforcement efforts within Hewlett-Packard that are designed to protect the company's intellectual property rights. Over the past year, the same initiative has uncovered ink patent infringements by other companies that offer generic ink supplies through refilling stations or private label brands. In other words, Hewlett-Packard, who has faced lawsuits over rigging their printers and cartridges to expire in order to crack down on the buying habits of people who choose to refill their cartridges or want an alternative to the ink guzzling that demands frequent trips to the store for premium-priced Hewlett-Packard inks, decides to go the way of Microsoft and the RIAA and try to shut down every third-party ink refiller and supplier in order to force the consumer to choose between paying for HP ink or nothing. I have a respect for patents and the rights of individuals and companies to protect proprietary devices and formulas, but based on their behavior in the past, I do not trust Hewlett-Packard to look out for the consumer on this one. Their claim that this is about quality control and reliability doesn't work for me. I think this is more about Hewlett-Packard control over the ink and toner market and revenue. That's why I use Canon printers. Individual ink tanks for $6 is the way to go. And this is just in from OnForce. This is a press release dated June 22, 2006. That was just a couple of days ago. The board of directors of OnForce Incorporated, the only online marketplace for on-site technology services, today appointed Kevin Gilroy, chief executive officer and member of the board, to lead the company through its stage of accelerated growth and significant platform enhancements. Gilroy will be charged with providing strategic direction for the company, in addition to his current day-to-day responsibilities of product development, operations, sales, and marketing. Gilroy was named OnForce's president in April 2006. His previous board experience includes an officer position on the Computer Technology Industry Association board from 2002 to 2005. His appointment coincides with rapid expansion of the OnForce marketplace. The company recently achieved a corporate milestone of more than 5,000 service buyer accounts registered on the OnForce platform, supported by 14,000 information technology service providers operating in virtually every U.S. zip code. The strength of the OnForce business model is that it embraces and focuses the power of an open marketplace, said Gilroy. The result is industry-leading quality and coverage for buyers, and a large pipeline of available service work for providers. OnForce connects businesses with technology specialists through an online marketplace that dramatically reduces costs and time involved in implementing and repairing technology for businesses or on behalf of leading service organizations across the nation. By connecting buyers and sellers directly, OnForce harnesses marketplace dynamics to drive superior performance and enhanced quality. I don't think this announcement comes as a surprise to anyone who watches the company closely. Congratulations to Kevin Gilroy, and I hope his appointment to CEO and member of the board at OnForce will be the beginning of good things to come for clients, providers, OnForce, for everyone. And that's the news in the Force Field. I am very particular about what goes in the Force Field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow providers. We're going to take a couple calls on the Skype line. Now, I'm working out the kinks in this, so I can't guarantee the quality of the line will be consistent, but it still beats two tin cans and a string. And it's free. And you can't beat free. The line is open to all OnForce providers. If you want to be part of the show, all you need to do is call Savoia Computer on Skype Friday evening from 10:30 p.m. to midnight Eastern. If you do not have Skype, you can download it onto your PC or laptop from www.skype.com and set up an account. It usually takes about 15 minutes to get up and running. I recommend using a microphone and a headset, so that could cost some money. The program is free, the account is free, and the calls are free. And you can't beat free, even if you have to buy the mic and headset. Once you're online with your Skype account, add Savoia Computer to your contacts and click the call button. It's that simple. Just call Savoia Computer, and that's spelled S-A-V-O-I-A, Computer. Computer is singular, not plural. Hello, is this Randy?
Yeah, it is. Hi, Rick.
Well, Randy, welcome to the Force Field.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever checked out, like, remote programs like Log Me In and stuff like that for doing remote support?
Actually, I have looked at a couple, and I haven't really decided on a particular one that I really want to use consistently. I've tried a couple out, and I've had mixed results from them. Is there one that you prefer, one that you use?
I found one I liked for ease of use, which was Log Me In Rescue.
Oh, okay.
And I liked how it worked. The only thing is I can't convince anybody that it's worth it to do it, to do a remote support instead of trying to, you know, show up at their house at a, you know, special time and have them clean the house up so you can come in. And it just seemed so much easier to be online and do the virus cleans online than to go to their house and spend 3 hours doing it.
Well, I agree. And that's one of the things that I was looking at doing some time back. It would just be nice to just sit around in the pajamas and have some coffee and just fix everyone's computer when they call, just without having to get on my seat and get in the car and drive out there. But in reality, I mean, I've had a few clients who have asked me if I offer that service. But in reality, when it comes down to actually repairing the computers, I actually prefer to sit down right in front of it rather than do it remotely. It just seems a little easier for me that way.
Yeah. Have you checked out Log Me In Rescue or no?
I've been on their website, but I haven't really downloaded the program or used it.
It's like $139.
I don't think, is it?
What's that?
That's the one that's subscription-based.
It is subscription-based. It's like $139 a month.
Okay, that is the one I was thinking of, that's subscription-based.
That's the one part about it I didn't like. And then people, when I brought it up to people and, you know, they say, well, I don't know, you know, how can you trust somebody coming through the internet and wouldn't somebody else maybe take along?
Well, you know, that's a valid concern.
It is valid.
And I think that's one reason why there are a lot of people that just don't opt for that. But on the flip side, I have had people ask me, they'll call me up on the phone and they'll ask me, look, can you just fix it over the phone? Now, there are some of these applications where you have a server version, and then you have to give them a client version, and they have to install a client version to actually get it to work, right? And that seems a little too cumbersome for me.
Right, and for me too. And that's one of the features I liked about this Log Me and Rescue is that basically what you did is you sent them a link, and then they in an email, and then they clicked on the link and hooked up to you, the server, and then you could both go through the server and you could see everything on their computer.
That's great, except what happens when you start rebooting, like if you're doing virus removal or something, you're doing reboots in order to you know, get them into safe mode. And of course, if you're going to safe mode, if you're going to continue to connect online, you're going to have to do a safe mode with networking. That's if you have XP.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it did work. I mean, I was able to boot them into safe mode, and as long as they were there to give me permission to re-access their computer when it booted up, in safe mode, I could still do things.
Yeah. Well, I have looked at a couple of them, and I'm still evaluating them, but my approach to it so far has been, you know, it's nice in theory, but when it comes down to actually working on the computer, I really would like to be able to just stand there in front of it, because if it starts off as a software problem or what I think is a software problem and ends up actually being a hardware problem, I can just stand there and open up the box and look inside,
right.
Whereas I couldn't necessarily do that. If it looks like a software issue and then it turns out to be a hardware issue, then I'm going to have to go over there anyway.
Right. I that's the one thing I also appreciated about it, or, you know, thought of as an issue. But like I said, the main issue I've encountered has been the reservation of people to for the security reasons.
Well, I've had that too.
Okay.
Well, take care, Randy, and I'll see you on the forums.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Sure. Have a good evening. Steve, this is Rick Savoia, and welcome to the Force Field.
Nicely titled.
Thank you. You work on Macs quite a bit, right?
I do, yeah. I'm a member, local member of the Apple Consultants Network, so I get direct referrals from the Apple stores in town. I've been around them long enough to remember when 64K was a lot of memory.
Yeah.
I lived up in Massachusetts at the time when everything fell apart. So changed careers, and it took me a while to get back to it, but I'm glad I'm back. Still hasn't changed that much.
If anything, I think it's become more integrated. In the old days, you sort of had to be a MacGyver at everything. Nowadays, there's no way you can be a MacGyver, yet people still expect that, and it's become more complicated.
You might have seen an interesting thing happened yesterday and today that the MacGyver reference goes back to. I was doing a job at a credit union. Their main IT department, you might have seen it, me reference it a couple of times on the forums, a product called Deployment Solution from Altiris. Mm-hmm. From the response I got from the forum, it's not that widely known, but I've used it for the last 4 or 5 years. I walked into this IT department, and they immediately just assumed that I knew how to set up their machines to work with Deployment Solution. Now, fortunately, I did. But I would say that out of the local area, if you got 2 out of 100 who was familiar with this product, you would have been in good shape. Now, nobody asked me before they gave me the job if I knew Altiris. It was a straight configuration job. But it was expected when I walked on site that I was familiar with this product. And it's a fairly obscure product. So I don't know how you, as somebody on one of the threads recently talked about the same thing. It's just that we're expected to know everything.
And that's true. Especially in some of these doctor's offices when they're working with these medical billing programs, there are quite a few of them out there. And there are several in particular that a few people use, that a few companies use, but that are not widely known.
Right.
And yes, just as you mentioned, you really need to know what it is they're running. Because a good deal of the time, the problem that they're having is either indirectly or directly related to that piece of software. And then you have to do this quick all of a sudden you have to sit down and assess the software, learn as much as you can about it in as short a time as possible, and come up with a solution for them.
And exactly. So here's an interesting topic if you wanted to carry it through a couple of techs. Are you the general physician, or are you the hand doctor, or are you the eye doctor? Where, as a person who's running his own business, where do you focus? What are you trying to be with the, and if you think about that, if you take the doctor analogy and you take that and bring it into the technology, are you the database guy? Are you the Windows Server guy? Are you the call me with anything and at least I'll be able to point you to the person who can get it done? So many people I've seen try to be everything, but there's just too much. You can't do it.
There's no way. Now, I would say maybe about 20 years ago, that was still possible. I mean, you could still be the MacGyver because 20 years ago, I mean, you didn't have the diversity of the programs out there. You didn't have some of the technology you have now. You know, things were simpler then. Nowadays, you have to be a real detective to figure some of this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. So as a small business person, as somebody who's trying to do the most for your customers, and by you, I don't mean necessarily Rick, but as a person in the industry, what is the best way to go?
There are some people that are going to continue to try to be everything because they want to try to be everything. I'm not saying I recommend that because I really don't. You can't really do that anymore. You have to specialize, just like doctors did some time back. I think where we are right now in the industry, I think the medical profession was about 30 years ago.
Do you think, as you relate that to the technology field, do you think that our customer base would put up for that?
Well, one could argue that they've accepted that with the medical profession because, yeah, I mean, a lot of us came kicking and screaming to the table when the medical field started doing this. But over time, people have come to accept it and realize that my doctor can't know everything. There's just too much to know. I think that probably 20 years from now, people will probably accept it. But once again, I think they'll be brought kicking and screaming to the table mm-hmm. before they do. I think people are not going to accept it so readily, especially because they've been so accustomed to many of us trying to be the MacGyver.
Right.
And trying to do it all for them. And they think they've really come to expect that to the point that when they're finally told, well, we can't do that anymore, they will put up some resistance. Well, it's good talking to you, Steve.
Good talking to you, too.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can private message me in the forums as rsavoya@forums.onforce.com, or you can reach me at rick@savoyacomputer.com, or visit my website at www.savoyacomputer.com. Opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and do not represent OnForce, Savoya Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written by Jim Chamberlain and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. The show is produced and distributed by Savoya Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoya. May OnForce be with you.